Thousands of Afghan refugees are now in the United States following their evacuation as the Taliban took over Afghanistan. Those refugees are mostly scattered among 8 military bases around the United States. But some 10,000 have been released and resettled into different communities. Nick Schifrin has one of their stories.
On the morning of August 15th, when the Afghan government still led the country, Mukadesha Yorish was where she always was on Sunday, a work day, in her office as a commissioner of Afghanistan's civil service.
I was in office when my mom called me and she wanted me to be home. And I told her, listen, I have to be in office because I have to wrap up a couple of things, so I might be home around 6. And then she told me that it's over.
For 20 years, Yorish had worked to create a modern, inclusive Afghanistan. She'd been a public servant, a former deputy minister of commerce, an NGO leader, a voice of her generation. But that day, it all unraveled. The Taliban seized the presidential palace, the city, and the country. Yorish and her family moved from house to house to avoid Taliban fighters now on patrol.
Did you feel like your life was in danger if certain members of the Taliban found you?
Once they took over, reports started coming in of them trying to identify former government officials. We left our entire house because we didn't have the time to pack it and wish that I would have just taken a final look at our house and at my room, my books. I just didn't have the chance, you know. I only had a couple of minutes to pack my entire life in a suitcase.
Like so many, she rushed for the airport. She was one of the lucky ones. She got through the chaos and onto a flight destined to the U.S.
I think that's when it hit me that you know, I was leaving and I was flying out and leaving my soul back in the country. So everybody that I knew who was boarding that plane with us were crying. Every single person It's the first time I'm talking about this, and it's not easy. It's not easy to try to leave home, everything. And nobody does it, unless and until they fear for the safety of themselves and their family.
6,800 miles away, in rural Wisconsin, lies Sparta, a town of 10,000, where American flags fly on Main Street and nearby Fort McCoy has stood sentry for more than a century. It became Yorish's temporary home, a Spartan sanctuary, disconnected from the life she had to leave behind. Recently, Fort McCoy invited a pool camera to film Afghan refugees' life on base. There are more than 12,000 refugees here, half children.
I would like 2 books, please.
They take classes.
7 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Eat food, now certified halal. And live in barracks, usually reserved for service members.
The spaces are certainly shared. You don't get to have your private room, you know, so you have to put up with the fact that you will be sharing your space with other families. And we certainly feel grateful for the generosity and the warmness and the hospitality that we have received here. The bigger question for all of us here is what would the future hold for every one of us? And to try to think of just equipping yourself with the right tools to start a new life over when you already had one.
That old way of life is being attacked. Some Taliban fighters have beaten women for protesting. The Taliban detain Afghans they accuse of being criminals and sometimes parade them in the streets. In the central square of the western city of Herat last month, they hanged a man from a crane.
every day it brings a new atrocity that the Taliban have committed, making sure that women disappear from the public spaces. And then to look back and know that you were actively part of creating that progress.
And now a second catastrophe, economic meltdown. Banks don't have cash. Families are selling furniture so they can buy food. The Taliban can't pay people's salaries. And the U.S. and its allies are refusing to release billions of dollars in reserves.
I would like to, you know, call on the world to tell them that the people of Afghanistan don't deserve being punished like this. And that if anything, in the past 20 years, the people of Afghanistan have shown the resilience that the world might not have known.
Resilience from two decades of progress. In 16-year-old Mara Matayi's piano virtuosity. Millions of Afghan girls who embraced education as soon as the Taliban were overthrown in 2001. And independent TV channels watched by millions. This weekend, after our interview, Yorish and her family resettled in Washington, D.C.
We feel very lucky to have Mukadessa Yorish.
And she received an award from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for being a change maker.
Join me in my desperate hope for the country, because to be able to do anything, you first need to believe mm-hmm. in something. And I still believe in my country.
Yorish insists that she and other Afghans who had to flee are no victims. And on that final day in Kabul, she realized she needed to either get busy living or get busy dying.
Dying is not always physical. If I would have been back home right now, I just would have been a silent observer. To me, that is gradual death in itself. When the Taliban took over, I think I had two choices, to stay and die or try to leave, keep my voice, be here on this show and try to continue, you know, to do my work and advocate for an Afghanistan that I think the people of Afghanistan deserve to live in. And I decided and I chose to stay alive and I chose my voice. One clarity that I have is that anything that I would do will be in the hope that that will take me back home.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.